not the end of the world.
I feel fine.
It sure feels like things are coming to a crashing blow, going in the wrong direction. Government shutdown, shutting down much of the EPA, as well as other critical services, and folks on Fox News cheering that. Oh, good, no more toxic cleanup work. That's all stopping. Well, that's a really good thing, right? It just somehow all seems surreal, and yet it's all too real, talking about what the right-wing interests in this country are doing, not only to our government and trying to do to Obama and anyone that seems in the Democratic Party who's trying to make progress, but also, of course, what's happening or not happening on the climate front. I don't know if this occurred to you, but Friday was the day that after 5 years of research and consensus caucusing, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, it's always so hard to say, so we'll just say IPCC, regular listeners of the show know what I'm talking about, they released their controversial report, and they were going to have further, you know, press on Monday, because, of course, when it's released on Friday, Saturday, whatever coverage there was doesn't get as much attention, whether it's newspaper, television, or radio coverage. And, of course, we all know what happened Monday. So I don't know about you, but I didn't hear anything this week about the IPCC report. I watch mainstream stations, I guess, CNN, MSNBC, listen to CBS and NPR. No, I don't listen and watch all day long, of course, but I do think that this is worth talking about because it's what happens. It seems like Mother Nature, the environmental cause, just keeps getting preempted and co-opted and drowned out just when we, you know, finally should be having at least a day or two of national coverage. So we're going to be speaking with a couple of great guests today, first on the IPCC report and also some research from the folks at the Yale Project on Climate Communications. Jeffrey Feinberg joining us in a moment to talk about some new research there on which Americans in which red and blue states are starting to connect more dots and understand what we have in our midst. And then in the second half, I'm really looking forward to interviewing Dr. Mary Pfeiffer. She is known probably most for her book, Reviving Ophelia, and she wrote a book recently called The Green Boat to basically revive her own sense of hope after becoming immersed in the many ecological crises we face. She's written a very hopeful, uplifting, and yet very honest book called The Green Boat. I'm just working my way through it. The subtitle is Reviving Ourselves in Our Capsized Culture. So I think you'll want to stick around for that. I certainly want to hear it, especially words of wisdom during these seemingly dark and senseless times politically and ecologically. So first we're going to welcome to the program Jeffrey Feinberg. He is the Yale Project Research Director on climate communications. Love that Yale is focusing their spotlight on how we better communicate about these issues. And, of course, the scientific community has been stepping up their game and trying to get out there much more, especially Dr. Michael Mann, who we have hoped to have on the show soon. He's been on several times before, but he's currently in Iceland, so could not join us today. And really just trying to be, you know, as we try to be, a communications vehicle between the scientific community and the American public. So, Jeffrey Feinberg, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the research that you just put out today on red and blue states and in between, majority now finally believing that climate change is real. And then we'll talk a little more broadly about the IPCC results, what they portend, what they don't actually say, and how that's being received and how it's not being covered enough.
Okay.
So let us know, you're always looking at Americans' opinions on climate change, their awareness, do they believe it's human-caused. You just looked at states including my home state of California, also Texas and Colorado. Of course, they've been besieged by the fires, by the floods. Oh, my. Ohio. What did you find in those states in regards to what citizens are now thinking is going on, weather-wise and climactically speaking?
Okay, well, we actually, like you said, we did surveys in four states, California, Colorado, Ohio, and Texas. We looked at California because it's typically thought of as a blue state, Texas because it's a red state, and then Colorado and Ohio because they're more swing states. And what we found is that across the board, majorities in all states believe that climate change is happening. At least 7 in 10 in each of the states. In California, 8 in 10 believe that it's happening. So we were happy to see that. Now, when it comes to the...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say, if you ask why they are starting to believe it in greater numbers, if it has to do with the weather, you know, in their own communities, but I didn't mean to interrupt your thought there. Go back.
Okay. You know, that's actually an interesting question, and it's something that we've been thinking a lot about. And what we have noticed is that belief in climate change does tend to wax and wane a little bit with what people are perceiving in the weather that they experience. So Texas, for example, has suffered this terrible drought, sure enough, 7 in 10 people believe that climate change is happening. And what was interesting is that politicians who say that climate change is happening, such as President Obama, are more trusted on energy and climate-related issues than people in the home state of Texas who represent Texas, such as Governor Perry or the U.S. Senators, Ted Cruz or John Cornyn. So we found that very interesting.
Interesting indeed. Governor Perry famously, you know, during the presidential election in 2012, when half the state seemingly was on fire, including Bastrop County, where I spoke in June, and half the residents there, half of them had been impacted by that huge wildfire,
right,
while their governor is continuing to just ask people to pray for rain and disbelieving of the scientific consensus.
Right, yeah. That's Governor Perry may believe that, but the majority of Texans don't.
I think that means they should get another governor.
Okay. Well, you know, we're nonpartisan. We just.
Right.
I can't comment on that.
I know.
Okay.
It's just this has gone on too long. The shenanigans with this, you know, not believing. So what do you take from this? That slowly but surely, you know, people are starting to understand what's upon us, and you know, are they also understanding sort of the urgency, do you think? And are people about now wondering what they can do about it, what their government should be doing about it? Or did you just look at, you know, awareness level?
Well, we actually look at a lot of different things, including how much people think that government should be doing about it, how much people think corporations should be doing about it, or citizens themselves, and across the states that we surveyed, and in our national surveys, we do see that large numbers of people do think that at the federal level, people should be doing much or somewhat more about global warming. But even more than that, they think that corporations and industry should be doing more about it, and they also think that citizens themselves should be doing more about it.
Hmm. And do you think they know what to do, or is there any? Do you see any need for information emerging from these studies? Sometimes it seems like people are lacking information, and sometimes, you know, it seems like there's a glut of, you know, statistics and science, and they just, I don't know, maybe just want someone to show them what to do or make it simpler.
I completely agree, and that's something that we talk about a lot here at the project. People don't really know what to do. What we have done is on our website, if people chance upon it, we've put a link so that people can find out what they can do about it, depending upon where they are or what their level of what their desired level of engagement is, etc. But I do believe that there needs to be much clearer communication to concerned citizens about how they can help. What they can do, depending upon their resources, their commitment, their time, etc. That's something that we're looking at and thinking about.
And something we try to do here each week on the Green Front, but of course it's not enough. We ought to have a lot more programming on this crisis. You would think we would, but that's an ongoing effort. While I have you, what would you say are the top three things that, you know, generically Americans can start doing now, regardless of where they live, if they're really concerned?
Okay, well, I think one very important thing is that people who believe in climate change and are concerned about it should just simply start talking about it to maybe their uncle who's a little bit on the fence about it, or to their children to make sure that they're educated about it. Just get it out in the air. make it more of a topic of conversation. If more and more people could just start talking about it, I think that that would be very helpful. If they talk about it in a way that is non-confrontational, and that is respectful of opposing views. If you're trying to convince somebody who's on the fence or is a little skeptical, if you don't respect what they have to say, the conversation is going to be counterproductive. And if you can, if people can gently talk about these things, express their concern, maybe even refer people to information and articles about climate change. I think one thing that's very important to get out into the air is this fact that 97%, recent studies have shown that 97% of climate scientists agree that human-caused climate change is happening. If people only were to understand this, then I believe then that people would start to believe more that it's happening and that it is, in fact, an urgent problem. And we've seen in a lot of our studies, unfortunately, that fewer than half of Americans, this is a national study we did back in April, and this has been this way for years, but fewer than half of Americans know that virtually all climate scientists agree that human-caused global warming is happening.
And do you think that some of the contrarians in the media with big audiences might be, you know, exacerbating that problem?
Well, I think there's no question. Certainly, certain interests have tried to sow confusion about this very issue. There have been a number of climate scientists who were of, you know, questionable. Let me just say that yes, there has been a concerted effort to sow confusion about this particular issue, and I think that's and there's been an ineffective attempt to communicate the fact that there is a virtual consensus among climate scientists that climate change is happening. So those things together have, we see the results in our polls. Fewer than half of Americans know that there is a virtual consensus on this issue.
And why doesn't the climate community try to counteract that by, you know, getting some of its own programming on and fighting for equal time for, you know, not only scientific reality but the future of civilization? I mean, it's pretty obvious that this is a big part of the problem. And as someone who's been trying to get a mainstream media outlet to see this opportunity, really, you know, to have some credible programming, the problem is programmers see this as advocacy, you know, and they can't have that. But the other side of the problem is, you know, newspapers and news outlets, you know, don't think it's their place to talk about, you know, what people can do about it and just, you know, how great the urgency is on a regular basis. I'm not saying it isn't mentioned. It doesn't get covered now when we see some extreme weather. It's starting to happen. But, you know, unless we have in-depth, you know, regular occurring, you know, content on about, it's not just one issue like climate change, but so many, I don't think we stand a chance of countering that.
Okay, well, I certainly agree that there needs to be...
I'm just venting.
Well, there certainly needs to be a lot more coverage. As you mentioned, there has been very light coverage of the latest report from the IPCC. So if we could see more coverage in the mainstream news, on the radio, on television, in the newspaper, on the internet, that would be very very desirable, and it would be best if that started happening now. However, in so doing, you know, climate change is such a difficult topic. Because it is science, because if you're just a person who is average Joe, you look up in the sky, this whole idea, you know, seems kind of far-fetched. And explaining the complexities of the science is very, very difficult. And so that's one of the chief tasks that we take upon ourselves is to figure out how can we boil down this message as cleanly, as clearly as possible so that we can communicate to people what's really going on and how urgent the situation is.
Perhaps isn't the good news and the bad news being, you know, the extreme weather events we're seeing across this country, no longer just, you know, up in the Arctic, but, you know, fires, droughts, flooding, tornadoes, twisters, although hurricane season has been, I guess, so far a little bit lighter than expected. Thank goodness we got a break there. But just about every other category we've seen, you know, worst flooding we've ever seen, worst wildfires in how many years, you know, 1 in 100 year events happening. Now they're saying maybe one every 20 years. But isn't that what's really going to finally get people to turn around when you can, even though we can't tie any one weather event to climate change, when you see what's happened overall, you know, the extra fuel in the system, if you will, the rising tide lifts all boats, in this case, that's not a good thing, you know, that you put a baseball player on steroids and they're going to, you know, hit more home runs. That whole metaphor, I think, is a good one. And maybe we just, you know, talk about the weather more, because everyone does talk about it, and maybe we ought to start talking about what we're going to do about it.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. I think that certainly people are beginning to connect the dots with what they see happening in their local community that have been hit by these extreme weather events. They are probably starting to pay more attention to this notion of climate change and how urgent the situation is.
And you mentioned, so talking about it is one thing. I think we kind of went off, I probably steered you off on a tangent on that. If there's anything else that comes to mind as one or two simple, or not simple, important things that people can do, and then if we can spend the last 5 minutes on your interpretation of the IPCC report, which is not getting covered because it's all about the government shutdown.
Okay. What I would say is that there are so many things that people can do just depending again on what their time and their resources are. I would say that writing a letter to your congressperson would be very important. I would say that becoming involved in local organizations that can work with local businesses to try to be more energy efficient, just down to personal things like getting solar panels or making sure that you recycle.
Driving a more fuel-efficient car if you can afford it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a lot of options are at this point are too expensive for people, but I think that letting your voice be heard, letting your local officials, letting your representatives in Congress know that you're concerned, that you expect them to act on climate, would be very beneficial. And supporting candidates in your district who run, who believe that climate change is happening and who want to do something about it. I think those are some very good first steps.
Agreed. Okay, so now let's turn to what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report. I think the last one was about 5 years ago, so it's a long time, you know, being prepared and gathering evidence, and there's so much data to collect. I mean, so what are the takeaways from this report?
Well, I think that the one big takeaway is that they have concluded that there is a 95% chance that climate change is human caused. That I think is if that could be broadcast loud and clear so that all Americans understand that this very distinguished panel has evaluated all of these data collected by many different kinds of scientists from around the world and have come to that conclusion. I think that would be very helpful. I think that's the one big takeaway.
97 point something percent. Has the numbers gone down since the last IPCC report of numbers of scientists who believe it's human caused, or did we misinterpret something? Not that 95% is any small or insignificant statistic. at all. But
well 97 I'm actually talking about two different things. 97% of climate scientists have concluded that human-caused climate change is happening. What the IPCC report says is that there is a 95% chance, probability, that climate change is human-caused.
Okay.
So that there's virtual certainty that climate change is the result of human activities.
And my understanding is that the panel is a, you know, cautious, collaborative, you know, consensus-driven body, so that if anything, you know, might be, you know, tend to be a little bit prudent. And
well,
so if they say that, that's pretty, you know, significant.
I would agree. Climate scientists, most scientists, are very careful about conclusions that they draw and conclusions that they convey to the public. They add all kinds of caveats and make sure that whatever they say is as accurate as possible. And the scientists on the IPCC board, you know, very distinguished, include some Nobel Prize winners, are certainly you know, at the very top of their field. And so, yes, I think you're right that if they have concluded that there's virtually no chance that climate change is the result of natural cycles in the environment, I think that's something that we should all listen to.
Okay, and what about the supposed pause in the rapidity of warming that, of course, those, I call them the deniosphere or deniosaurs, would have us believe that it's reversing or not happening as quickly as we thought?
You know, batting down all of these counter-arguments to climate change is, I think, it's just not a good use of time. The fact that human-caused climate change is happening is a fact, and it's an open and shut case. And just simply getting embroiled in these arguments is just not worth getting into the weeds. What I would suggest is that people who are interested in understanding what the deniers are saying and being able to counter those arguments, there's a fantastic app, and you can download it onto your iPhone and you probably know about this on your iPhone or on you know, your Android phone, and it's called Skeptical Science.
Mm-hmm.
Just go into the store, and what it does is, and you can pull this out at a cocktail party if you're dealing with someone who is skeptical about climate change and has all of his or her arguments ready to go, is this app very cleanly and simply lists all of the arguments against the reality of climate change, and you can just find the one that you're interested in and click on it. And what it does is it gives what the argument is, and then it has three levels of counter-argument, one that's very simple for the layperson, one that's a little bit more involved, that's for kind of the lay scientist, and then one that gets pretty technical and is written for a climate scientist audience.
And also, want to give a plug to Al Gore's Climate Reality Group has something called Reality Drops. It's the same kind of thing.
Okay.
If you Google that, you'll see that they have, you know,
right,
credible news reports and then what the deniers are putting out and why it's not credible to help
right.
you with, you know, having with Thanksgiving coming up and people going home sometimes to
right.
family members with different political or environmental views, you know,
right.
good to be forearmed, forewarned.
Right.
We're out of time, but I really want to thank you not only for joining us today, Jeff Feinberg, but also the great work that you're doing there at the Yale Project on climate communications. It is so important to communicate loudly and clearly about what we're up against, and again, the next piece is the solutions, and that's what we try to help with here on the Green Front. Thanks for your contribution.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Mary Pfeiffer, and you're definitely going to want to hear what she has to say about despair turning into hope and how you go from trauma to transcendence. And I don't think that message could be more relevant and more timely than at this particular moment as the government shuts down and the IPCC report gets put back on the shelf, just when we should be talking about that loudly and clearly. We'll be right back with more of that on the Green Front.